Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Born to Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Marcia Witeka. Conversations plus connections equals community. Those are my three C's. The heart of my show is, what's your story? It's my belief we all have stories. Some are similar, others are uniquely different. Storytelling brings the passions of my guests to life through our conversations. So be prepared to be entertained, informed, and inspired. Welcome to today's show.
Well, hi, everybody. I'm so happy to have you listening into today's show with my guests, Meredith Yinger and Natalie Perez. We met, I just want to tell you, we met at the beginning of the year at our local LAX Coastal Chamber of Commerce, and that's how we first met, which is the beauty of a Chamber of Commerce, I might add. And our show today is about the business that they started together, CTV Media. Welcome to the show, Meredith.
Hi, Marcia.
Thank you so
much for having me. I'm really excited.
Me too. And welcome to the show, Natalie.
Hi, thank you so much, Marcia, for having us. We are so pumped to talk to you today.
Well, you know, it's really fun because oftentimes
so I can only go by what I know.
I've kind of switched the dial for you
guys.
You're the ones that do some of the work that we're doing today, and you're not the guest on your shows. And so this is a great opportunity for people that are listening to learn about what it is that you both do. And before we get into that part about your business, I always think it's a great idea to learn about my guests, to know who you are. So, Meredith, I'm just going to start with you. Could you just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, where'd you grow up, things like that, education?
Yeah, sure. I grew up actually locally, very close to the Chamber of Commerce in El Segundo, and moved around, you know, in the South Bay. So all along the coast, I feel like I need to be by the ocean to, one, know my directions, but also just for peace of mind. And I went to an all-girls high school in Culver City, Notre Dame Academy. Shout out, go Regals. And then I went to Loyola Marymount University.
You know something, Meredith? I don't know the answers to these questions ahead of time, but if I was to go back and listen to my last 10 shows, as an example, I cannot tell you how often Loyola Marymount University comes up in people's background. And for those of you that are listening that are nowhere in the Los Angeles area, just so that you know, Loyola Marymount is a college that is literally three blocks from my home. It is an exceptional Jesuit college, and it used to be just a men's college. Then it became a men's and women's college. And I didn't know you went there, and it really is a tremendous university. So it's great to know that. And I didn't know you were a local girl from El Segundo, so that's pretty cool. What about you, Natalie? What's your background?
Well, I grew up in Orange County in Anaheim, and like Meredith, I actually also went to an all-girls Catholic high school in Fullerton called Rosary. Shout out, go Royals. Royals and Regals.
I know.
So cool. We actually didn't know that until just recently. Still learning some things about each other. But yeah, actually, and then also I went to Loyola Marymount University, which is where we met. Spoiler alert.
No kidding. And were you in the fine arts department at LMU? What did you guys study there?
Yeah, actually, we both went in undecided. I went in undecided, Meredith. I was a communication studies major only. And then at the end of our freshman year, we both applied into the film school and got in. So then the remainder of our 3 years at LMU, we were film and television production majors. And then we also had our own minors. So I minored in women's studies. I got two bachelor degrees, so I didn't leave communication studies. I just added on film and TV production, so I was in both colleges.
You know, for people, like I mentioned just a moment ago, for people that don't know about LMU, that film school is really exceptional. It's not just an ordinary film school. You are highly regarded, and some very famous people have come out of the film school from LMU. Am I right about that?
Yes, you definitely are. It's an amazing place.
Yeah, it's so beautifully located. So that's interesting to know. So there you are, your college friends, and then what did you do? You started your own business. Meredith, tell me about how did SheTV Media start? Maybe you could even start by telling us how you came up with that name.
Yeah, so SheTV Media first came about, I would say, like 2 years ago now. Natalie and I had worked together on a lot of film projects prior, and we'd either done like web series or she helped make like we worked together in the abroad program for the documentary in the film school at LMU during our junior year, and we were abroad in Germany together, so we worked on a bunch of documentaries and projects and traveled together. And so SheTV, I had this idea, I don't know, the name SheTV came to me in my sleep, and I know that sounds, all of her good ideas come when she's asleep. Although sleep is very important, people. So I don't know. I had the name SheTV, and I always told people I wanted to create like a network and have that, because Oprah is my number one, you know, idol in since I was growing up, and I would always be like, I want to create my own network, but instead of own, it'll be mine, Meredith Junior Network. And then SheTV kind of popped into my head, and I was like, we should really be creating empowering content for women and kind of turn the tables and create this, you know, community and content that is positive and empowering. So I sat Natalie down about 2 years ago, and I had a PowerPoint presentation laid out for her, and I pitched to her SheTV, and then you can add on the rest is history. But yeah, it was funny because she sat me down at the table, she invited me over, and she had this PowerPoint presentation, so I knew that she meant business, because before this moment, she had ran ideas by me, we had tried out a few different, like, maybe we were, like, doing a short film, or maybe we were doing a web series or something, but couldn't quite grasp how we were going to do it, where it was going to go, and just the long-term vision of the project. So when she sat me down with this PowerPoint, I was like, whoa, okay, this is, like, intense. But I was immediately like, yes. And she was like, no, don't say anything. Just go home and sleep on it. And I was like, okay, but yes. So I went home, and I created a yes and PowerPoint presentation, which was, like, everything that you said yes and how can we get men involved. How can we, you know, branch out to other audiences and stuff? And so after that, we agreed on it, and I think it was that day that we were like, let's buy the website, let's, you know, get all the social media handles. And yeah, there was no turning back from that point on. We're in it to win it.
I love it. It's really interesting when we let our minds be at rest, although I'm sure the three of us would all agree that's not always an easy thing to do, but that it came up, you know, it just came up. And what's really awesome about that, Meredith, is that sometimes those things come up and we've got them, and then we get actually awake in the morning. It was like, darn, what was that good idea I had last night? So when that idea popped into your head, I'm just curious, did you write it down right then? Did you wake up and write it? Or did you really just remember it in the morning?
You know, I probably should know the answer to that question. I think I must have written it down, because I don't know. Or it was one of those things that I was just like, this is something that I probably woke up, sat up, and thought about for like a long period of time. And then in the morning, I just like had it in my brain. I was like, tomorrow it's GCV, you know, we're going to figure out what the heck that means. And develop that idea further, but I do try to write things down as soon as like I come up with them, because it's very easy to fall back asleep and forget it.
Right. Or I mean, really, sometimes this is just, I hate to admit that I do this, but I do, because my phone is fairly close to my bed. Okay, yes, it is. Sometimes I'll just hit notes and I'll just speak into it, and then I'll just turn it off and attempt to go back to sleep. I know most people would say that's a terrible habit. Okay, but enough about me. So, Natalie, so Meredith has just pitched this great idea. You raise your hand and you say, yes, I'm in. So what would I heard you say that you also want to involve men also, but what I'd like to know is, what do you see as your mission for SheTV Media?
Well, it took us a long time to, like, really nail down what our mission was. We went to many business classes and read many business books that kind of helped us really dive deep and to figure out what we wanted to do. And so we came up with this company, this production company that focuses on telling untold and inspiring stories about empowered women through documentaries, commercials, and narratives. And so that was kind of what...
Beautiful.
Yeah, and we wanted to involve men in the conversation, obviously, because you can't fight for equality and not include men, because then it wouldn't be equality. It would be the opposite. And so, and then also just, you know, as we were reflecting on our own backgrounds as, you know, female entrepreneurs and as female filmmakers, just personally in my own story, I realized how many men were such a crucial part of my growth and my learning in the industry. And it was really a lot of men who had given me opportunities that were just amazing. And so it was really important to me that we involved them somehow and kept the conversation open and continued to seek their help and not shut them out. So we do, for example, have mainly all-female crew, but we always have, I want to say, at least one man on the set, and it's not that we're choosing men over, that we're choosing women over men. We're just choosing these really awesome crew members that happen to be women. So that's why on our website, for example, we're like, we help businesses grow with video, but we don't exclude, you know, male-owned businesses. We work with everybody.
Yeah, we always like to tell people that there is a he and she.
There you go. There is a he and she. Boy, you know what? That's probably something that's said frequently, but I've never heard anybody say that. That's terrific, because I understand that you want to give women in this industry an opportunity. When you are in basically a male-dominated field. My daughter works in construction, commercial construction. It's basically a male-dominated field. And when you can uplift other women to feel that they have an option in this field, and like you say, having women crew, if you made it so exclusively women, then in some ways you're doing precisely what you don't want to be doing, which is to be exclusionary. So I think that there's a nice balance there, and I think that, you know, that it's terrific that you give women these opportunities, but that you don't exclude men at the same time, because as you said, Natalie, men are pretty important in this whole process as well. And when we think about projects, Meredith, I know you guys have only been around a couple of years, but what are some of the types of projects that you have been working on? What do you do?
Yeah, so we like to keep it interesting. So we do a wide variety of projects, anything from branded content, promotional videos, website, homepage, mission statement videos, social media campaign videos, documentaries, narratives. We have two web series that we have got in the queue that we are in post-production on. And, yeah, we really look just to try and include and create empowering stories, whether that's about someone's business that they started, you know, a female-run company that you maybe wouldn't even know was run by females, or, you know, uplifting other filmmakers and trying to support each other in a collaborative community. So the projects vary, but we always try and work with people that are, you know, game-changing or doing something positive in the media.
I love that. And if I understand you correctly, are all of your projects video-based? That is,
yes.
You are video people, correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay, all right. That's really good.
Okay,
say that once again.
Oh, I just said that's our specialty and our passion.
is the video. That's really great.
Yes.
You have a wonderful website. I might just mention right now, for those of you that are listening, that you have a great website, and it's pretty darn easy to find. It's shetv.me, correct?
Correct.
That's what I'm looking at, shetv.me. And when you go to that website, you will see a picture of the two of you, but you will also see some of the things that you do, and people can actually fill out a survey or connect to you and do some work with you. So I do definitely want to recommend that people check out your website as well, because it's very, very well done. I really appreciate that. And because websites are important, and it sounds like if I understood you correctly, Meredith, you help people design their websites as well so that they can get their message out, their brands or whatever, their books or whatever it is they're doing?
Primarily what we would do is when people go through like a rebrand or their website needs updating, we always recommend that they create video content that will live on their website, sort of telling them, the audience and their clients, a little bit more about them, their mission, like their passion, why they do what they do, their services offered, and then that video content we recommend live on the website and in newsletters. Or in email signatures as well, so people can know you and know your product.
Do your clients come to your studios? Do you ever go to them? How do you do that?
So we oftentimes will film at the location of the office or of the company that we're working with. Other times, if it's a larger shoot, we'll like rent out a location or a studio. So we kind of move around a lot.
Yes. Okay. That's really good to know. Well, so Natalie, so what are you currently working on at this moment? What's your project?
That's a great question. Well, we have quite a bit under our wing right
it's
now.
It's probably not just one.
Yeah. One. I'll start with like the smaller project and then branch out into like our big giant project. But like Meredith mentioned a little bit earlier, we are working on two web series, and they're both in post-production right now. So one is a 3-episode web series of female witches who get in trouble using their spells and then have to find ways to put the pieces back together, and it's a comedy drama, and that one is actually completely finished, but we're looking for distribution right now. We had a screening for it in Orange County a few months ago, and about 20 people RSVP'd, but over 100 people showed up, which was
Congrats.
A major accomplishment.
That's so cool.
Yeah. We were blown away. It was very fun. And then our other web series is called The Madams, and that one is in post-production, and will be launching in December on a new streaming platform called Sideshow. And that one is about two sisters who start their own business together. And it's kind of a scandalous comedy drama, kind of just like, what is it? Mystery kind of, or
yeah.
Not mystery, but
it's a little bit of, yeah, there is a little bit of thriller.
Like a thriller aspect to it. But yes, that will be the first two episodes, like I said, will drop in December. So those are kind of more like our fun narrative-based projects. And then we're still working with a few, you know, nonprofits in the area to work on their, like one nonprofit is called IACT, and they're a really amazing organization. And we're working on their 10-year anniversary video. Well, it's like a video that will drop in, you know, their it's for a program that they're trying to promote and gain more, you know, momentum with, and it basically helps them set up an early childhood development training program in these countries where primarily in like refugee camps. So they train refugees, and the refugees and
the teachers, in turn become teachers and teach the children and kind of create a harmony and safe place for these people who have been displaced to learn and interact with each other.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So when you do something, let me interrupt you right there. So when you do something like that, because I tend to really go to the nonprofit side of life. So I act is an, and I'm assuming it's just the way it's spelled, ACT, I act, and they're a nonprofit. Are they locally based or are they somewhere else in the country?
Yeah, they're local. They're actually, their offices are located in Hermosa Beach.
Oh, no kidding. And do they take their story out of the country? Like, are they in Africa? What parts of the world do they provide their support?
Primarily, they're in Africa, but they're also expanding to Greece next, I think, and a couple other places. It definitely lists more in detail on their website. I think it's iact.org.
Okay.
Well, let me check.
That's really fascinating, Natalie, because, like I said, I've had a lot of LMU connections that just happen because they happen, and I'm part of the Playa Venice Sunrise Rotary, and between my connections of this community, it's really quite remarkable how many people have had connections to Africa on my show. Different countries within Africa, and including acting as a way of teaching people about HIV and AIDS by bringing acting to some of these villages. So it's just, I find that I'm really always touched by projects like that you do those things. That must be very rewarding to work on projects like that, I would think. That's really cool. And did you say you had one more? Because you mentioned you had the smaller. Then you said that you've got your IAC. Was there one other thing that's happening right now as we speak?
Yes. We are working on, this is like our huge passion project. It's a documentary series called Scars Unseen. It is a 6-part series about the triumph of the human spirit following 6 men and women who have overcome domestic violence. And
okay,
so
we're going to talk more about that. Yes. Wow.
So yeah, just really quickly to go back to IACT, I totally messed up the website and I just want to make sure I get it right for them.
Oh, sure. Okay.
It's IACT.NGO.
Oh, NGO. How interesting. Okay, terrific. Well, I'll make sure that we get that noted. So it's iact.ngo.com. Okay, I'm assuming.
No, just ngo.com.
Gotcha. Okay, perfect. Okay, so this Scars Unseen. Let's talk about this because this sounds like this is really a huge project. So you said that it's a 6-part series. And tell me again what this is about.
So Scars Unseen is about triumph of the human spirit in domestic violence cases following 6 men and women who have overcome domestic violence. So,
wow.
Yeah. we have been working on this project for over a year and a half now, probably almost as long as we've been a company.
Yeah, that's true.
It's been in development for a very long time, and we feel very passionate about this project, and it's kind of been our baby just because it's almost a toddler, but
I know.
It's walking now. It's got legs and it's walking. But this is a topic that we feel we have met and know people that have been affected by domestic violence, and it's such a widespread issue, and 1 in 3 people, 1 in 3 women have been affected by it, and it's just insane when you really are in a group and understand those numbers and what that really looks like, and we just didn't feel like we're not talking about it, and we're not, as a society, if we can't even talk about it, how are we going to make any progress, and how can we expect people to find healing if it's not even something that is in conversation?
You have a really good, like I mentioned your website before, and I'm actually looking at your website right now, and I'm looking at Scars Unseen and your documentary series. I'd be curious to know from the inside where you are, do you write this? How does take me a little bit through how that process works, because I really don't know how it works to film a documentary. Are these people that have actually experienced this, or are these actors? How does this process work?
Yeah. So, well, and I'll also give you a little bit of backstory too about our inspiration for the project. But in terms of logistically how the documentary works, is we have our subjects and we interviewed them all, and it's all their true main stories. Anything that as much detail as they want to give us and as little detail as they want to give us, it's totally up to them. But usually Meredith is the one that comes up with the questions to ask and kind of how to direct the conversation. Of course, one of the most beautiful things, which we've known for years now, is that a lot of times in documentary filmmaking, you'll go in with an idea of like, okay, this is how the conversation is going to go. And then midway through, someone will say something that totally redirects the direction of the conversation, and it ends up being 10 times better than what you had even planned in the beginning. But that's always the kind of risk factor that you take when you're making a documentary, is you don't really know where it's going to go or how it's going to end up or how you're going to put all the pieces together in the end in the editing room. So we did the main interviews with our we did three of the six subjects. So we're about halfway through right now. And then we also interviewed some professionals. So we interviewed medical professionals, legal professionals, people who specialize in healing from traumatic experiences, and friends and family. If it is appropriate for each person's story, we interview people that are like in their story. So if their family or their friends are very integral piece of their story, then we would interview them as well.
Well, let me ask you this, because I think this is just a really important topic. But I guess the first thought that comes to my mind, and I do understand about what you said about how you start here and then you take a detour, which is why things are so organic and so beautiful in life and conversations. But how did you get people to come forward to be, and I know you're using the word subjects, That's an inside word. When I hear the word subject, I think of that's the topic. But when you're using the word subject, you're really speaking about the human, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
So how did you come about getting your subjects to interview them to start with?
Yeah. Well, I guess this kind of goes all the way back to the beginning. So when we first started out as a company, we went to a lot of networking events, and at one of the networking events we went to, we met this woman. Her name is Trish Steele, and she is the co-founder of a nonprofit called Safe Passage, which is underneath the DBA Women Crowned in Glory. But Safe Passage is a nonprofit that helps women and children get out of domestic violence situations, and they have a really holistic approach to healing, which includes financial teaching for the women, and I think what kind of class for the kids it was?
They have a karate class,
karate
or a taekwondo class
for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
But they provide the mother and the kids both with psychological services, counseling, therapy, and then just kind of like a home-based office that they can go to and just get any additional training that they need. They also put on like a makeover for the women. So they'll have high-end fashion stores donate clothes, and they have an in-house makeup lady. I'm like stumbling.
Yeah, a makeup artist.
Yeah. That they come and just kind of give this woman, the women a really great makeover so that they can feel like there's a physical change along with the mental change that's happening.
Yeah, so anyway. I want to direct people to the fact that I'm now looking at this page. I'm seeing this picture of Trish Steele. And I'm seeing the musicians and some of the other people that are part of this production. And I once again, it doesn't surprise me that you would have a fabulous web page because it makes total sense. But I can see now that with the help of Trish, she was probably instrumental in saying, here are some people that would be brave enough, because there is a brave issue here, brave enough to come forward and speak about what's happened in their lives, because there isn't a day goes by that you don't hear about domestic abuse, either in print media, on the television nightly news, and on some of these domestic violences turn deadly, and there's trauma that can last a lifetime. So I think it's really, you know, it's a really important subject, and you're to be congratulated. Was there something specifically that inspired you to just delve into this particular project?
I think that after we met Trish and were thinking of how amazing her work is, and she introduced us just actually by chance. We were at another event, and we were filming Trish for her promotional purposes, and we ended up meeting another one of our interview subjects there, and really just kind of seeing how big of an issue this is, but also because Trish and the people we're meeting have such a positive and hopeful approach to discussing domestic violence and to making people feel comfortable enough in seeking help and in telling people that there are resources available. And we just felt so much hope and so many wonderful things Trish and her organization that we're like, we want to create a project that is the positive, hopeful triumph of the human spirit process, that's really focusing on the after process and the healing and the resources that are available, and just kind of looking at it from a different perspective than what is typically portrayed.
I think that's terrific. Once this documentary is done, is this going to be streamed on what you were talking about earlier on? I wrote it down somewhere, and now I don't see where I wrote it. But is it going to be streamed somewhere where people will be able to watch this?
Yes. Ideally, our platforms that we're targeting would be PBS or HBO as the mainstream platforms.
Oh, gosh, I hope that happens for you. How satisfying that would be for you guys in the back, but also for the people that have been interviewed and can provide inspiration for hope for someone that may be going through something like this. Because I can't imagine this is not a giggles process. This is very serious. And if their words of their personal experience and triumphing and getting beyond their trauma to living through it, I just think that that's a wonderful project. And I would guess that you would think that this is pretty important for all of us to be discussing, right, Meredith?
Yes, definitely. I think the more that we are aware and the more that we can look at each other as human beings and see, okay, what's really causing this behavior? And if you know someone that's going through this, what can you do to support them? What can we as a community kind of be doing or practicing to make sure that this doesn't continue, especially starting from the younger generation? And I think that violence is something that should be discussed, and it should be taught more in schools and in, you know, just our everyday lives, because we can do better, and we know that it's possible for healing and for people to, you know, turn their lives around. So I think the more
absolutely
that we're all able to talk about it, the more it's possible.
I imagine you could go all the way back to elementary school and recognize that there could be children today, as we speak, school is just getting underway, that are living in a household of domestic abuse. And while they may not personally have the physical bruise on their body, they certainly could have the physical bruise in their heart. and it becomes almost like an awareness in the classroom for teachers. We don't have as many nurses and care providers in our classrooms as we could use in all of our schools today across the country. But when a kid is acting out, or maybe the kid is a bully, and you get to the root causes of this bulliness, and you realize that this 8-year-old has seen bullying going on in his or her household for a very long time, and they just think that that's what you're supposed to do because that's what happens to mom, or that's what happens to grandma, or whatever. You know, it's like, where do you break the cycle unless you start making the subject something people talk about? And while it's not, you know, it's not a happy subject, if more conversation is brought towards it and funding, then maybe we can help young people and men and women. I know most of us would think that in a domestic abuse situation that it's women that are being abused, but the tables can turn in the other direction, can they not? Can women be the abusers as well?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Wow. So when you do something as challenging as this, what kind of challenges as the documentary people, the people that you are that are producing this documentary, what kind of challenges do you guys have to come to overcome to produce such a serious subject?
I think there's a lot. I think a lot of our biggest challenges that we've overcome so far have been through the legal aspect. So just being very aware and conscious and careful with the subjects that we do interview to make sure that their stories aren't too raw, or that by telling their story, there would be no way that it would put them in danger after the fact. So I think that's been a huge part of it. And then also since the beginning of this, like I said, Meredith and I go way back, and we've made documentaries for years, and a lot of our documentaries have been more guerrilla style, which is just the run and gun. You don't need a budget. You don't need crew necessarily. And with this project, we really wanted to be as professional as possible. And we also got into an incubator lab that's put on through Film Independent and Loyola Marymount University. It's for alumni up to 4 years out to apply to. And basically, through the lab, which we got accepted into, you become a Film Independent member. Oh, and Film Independent is a nonprofit in Los Angeles. They help independent filmmakers. So they put on like workshops, they'll give you mentors, they have a space available for screenings or like rehearsals, anything that you might need. And more than anything, they're just a huge network of people that you can get to know and learn from. And so we got a membership with them. And that, I think, was when we were like, okay, whoa, like this documentary isn't just our passion project. It's something that other people believe in too. They believe in it so much that they accepted us into this program. And so through that program, we were given lots of workshops on the legal side of filmmaking and making sure that we get the correct insurance that we need. We make sure that we don't, say something that we're not supposed to say, or just being very conscious on all sides of the spectrum. And we also got a lot of advice on marketing and distribution, which has been like the most help, I think, because in film school, they taught us a lot about the filmmaking process, you know, from the beginning till you finish a film, but they don't teach you a lot about how to get a film sold or how to get it seen or on a streaming platform, for example. So that's been a lot of our focus throughout this whole year's program, is how can we set ourselves up now so that people will watch it once the film is actually complete. Mm-hmm. So learning all of this.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
Oh, no.
I wanted to let you finish your thought. And then I guess what occurs to me, Natalie, is that this cannot be inexpensive. And while you're working with this incubator lab, there you must be getting you must have a lot of expenses when you have crews. And I don't know where you're filming this. Are you able to film this at LMU? Are you able to use their physical space?
Oh, yes. That also comes with the incubator
oh,
lab
nice.
Is that you become, on the LMU side, you become like a student again. So we have student status, which allowed us to rent out LMU's equipment for free and then also use LMU's like studios and stages for free. So, yes, we were able – we filmed most of the interviews, I would say, on LMU's campus. Using their equipment, which was a huge help.
I bet. But if people wanted to support you, they certainly could get behind you in doing something like this as well, correct?
Yes, actually, through the program, we through Film Independent, we have fiscal sponsorship. So through our website, people can donate to this project. And it will be tax deductible because we have 501c3 status through this project.
Looks like you've done pretty well so far, but there's never enough. So I can appreciate while you've raised some money, you know, it isn't like you're going to go shopping with it. This is really vitally important to get this out there. So it sounds like you guys are like a one-man band, you know, you do it all. It's pretty darn exciting. And I guess what I'm thinking, people that might be listening, what would you say has been helpful information that you've learned that maybe you would like to say to somebody else that they might be able to apply if they wanted to do something like this?
I would say definitely ask for help. I think that's one of the hardest things when you're starting a business or starting a film is being afraid to ask for help because you think, oh, someone might, judge you for not knowing enough or, you know, doubt your knowledge or whatever. But honestly, we asked so many questions when we started out. We would just call up random people for like the smallest question and just be like, hey, how does this work again? And then they would tell us. And I guess along that same note, it would be to get as many mentors as possible because we have a handful of mentors that we cycle through. I would say we meet with them about once a month and just letting them know where we are, where we want to be, and taking their advice. That has been so important in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely. And just to add on to what Natalie is saying, I think getting someone who has either tax experience, an accountant, just in setting up your business legally and how you want to incorporate and how you will be taxed. And I know it sounds boring, but it's really important and you could save yourself a lot of hassle if you get someone on board early on to help you set it up the right way.
That makes sense. That makes sense because once you've taken care of that part where you have your domain, you have your LLC or whatever it is that you have, then the accountant can do his or her job and then you can do yours. But you can't be halfway into a project and go, oh, darn, we forgot to do this. That's part of marketing, distribution, all those legal things that you've mentioned that allows you then to get that behind you, have that team of people that work with you for you so that you can then take what you love and what your passion is, which is to be creative, which is to do things as significant as Scars Unseen or as fun as Female Witches or The Madam. I mean, it sounds like, you know, you have a variety of interests and they all sound like a lot of fun. And maybe somebody that's listening might think, gosh, you know what? It's not too late for me. I'm kind of interested in this myself. And I think that people could certainly get involved in doing things like this. Do you add on to your team or are you pretty well taken care of as far as your team members?
No, we are definitely growing. I think the really great thing is that we're very flexible. So if there was like a smaller project, we can work as a two-woman team and do you know, the video, the sound, the lighting. We can do all of it ourselves, but we are fortunately getting to a stage where a lot of our projects are bigger and that we do need more help, especially on set, but also in the office, like working on just the lead generating kind of thing, like the everyday of what we do. Yeah, so that we can be out creating. And so we definitely are expanding our team, which is exciting.
I think that's great. If you had somebody that was your administrative assistant, and I don't know that you have that person, do you have that kind of a person already in your organization?
Not at the moment. We are pretty much are wearing a lot of hats, but the goal will be to bring more people on board as we grow.
I think that's great. And I can imagine, based on just what you've been describing for this show, is that having somebody else be your front person that answers the emails, that gets the emails out, that gets that information to you, just takes one hat off of the top of your head. And I can see where that would be really, really great. I would think you would really like that. And it sounds like you've really, really grown. Do you look back at this and go, whoa, look where we've come in the last 2 years? That what does that feel like?
Yes. I mean, we talk about that all the time. It's so funny because our first year together, I think we changed our website like every single week,
pretty much.
Like every week we were like, okay, this is it. And then Monday would hit and we'd be like, oh my gosh, how did we let that stay up over the weekend? Like,
what were we thinking?
And so it's funny because we actually still have our first ever website. It's not live, so don't go searching for it. But we still have it. It's so funny looking back at it because we want to keep it because it's so funny to look back at just see like how like what we thought worked back then, which was just like silly pictures of ourselves and a bunch of text that nobody would read. And it's definitely fun to look back and even see. I know like on Facebook, for example, it does the 1 year ago today. And there's so many things because we are together almost every single day that will see things we were doing a year ago and be like, wow, that feels like it was yesterday.
I can relate to that. You guys are a couple of years in. I'm 4.5 years in. And sometimes I look back and I think, wow, that's right. I had somebody on, like you mentioned Facebook, I had somebody that sent me a picture of when she was on my show with me. Her name is Trina Hall. And she said, Marcia, look at this picture of us. It was 4 years ago. And I'm thinking, holy cow, it is pretty remarkable. But in moving forward, I think you have some pretty exciting projects coming forward. Can you tell us about Story in Her Eyes? What is that all about?
Okay, so Story in Her Eyes is also a mini documentary series that is in post-production now. And that's also following, I think I have 5 or 6 women and their stories. They vary in age and their stories all kind of have a universal theme of overcoming either domestic violence, sexual assault, or just another huge obstacle in their life. And they've all sort of utilized art forms as what has kind of helped them overcome. And that's just kind of a small project that we have ongoing. And then we have Miss Avo.
Avocado.
Okay, so this is a funny story, actually. When we studied abroad in Germany in 2013, the fall of 2013, and while we were there, we each had to make a documentary project, and Meredith's documentary project was called Avo Wiedersehen, which is like Auf Wiedersehen, which is goodbye. But it's goodbye avocado, but it's Avo, like an avocado. I thought I had the title again before I had the project. So It was actually a mockumentary, which basically means it's like a documentary is more or less telling what's going on in real life or somebody's truth. But a mockumentary is half that and also half scripted. Mm-hmm. So half of it was planned, pre-planned, and half of it we filmed knowing exactly what was going to happen. And so Meredith is the main character, and it's her search to find the best guacamole in Germany.
Mm-hmm.
And being a native of Los Angeles and being surrounded by wonderful Mexican food her whole life, it was this journey to find the best avocados, guacamole, / Mexican food in Germany, which, surprise, was a fail.
You can watch the whole 7.5 mini mockumentary on our website.
That is so funny.
So that documentary actually did really well. Meredith put it in a few film festivals. It won a couple awards. And now it just lives on our website. When we came back,
that.
I know. She always had this idea of like making a sequel, which we are now in production of. So would you like to talk about the sequel?
Sure. The sequel is Miss Avocado, and this same character is such a fanatic that she's upset in this pageant living world that we live in that there is not a Miss Avocado. Pageant, and she kind of decides that she's going to become Miss Avocado.
The first ever.
The first ever. And that's it.
God, crap, that's so
that's
funny.
Where we're at.
So you've written it, but you're also starring in it. You are in front of the camera, right, Meredith?
Correct, yes.
Oh, man, that's
not
that's
a character.
Really...
It is a mockumentary, but it is just a little bit of an exaggerated version of myself.
Yeah, I would say it's
like a heightened version. Because I'm like, it's pretty accurate. So.
Yeah.
That's so funny, you guys. Well, if you were to just, you know, have that crystal ball in front of you and you were to look into the long-term vision or goal for your corporation, your business, where would you like to see yourself in a year or two? That's
well,
a big, heavy
I
question,
think,
right?
I know, yeah. I had to think. I was like, a year? I was like, okay. I think long term, if SheTV Media could be operating as, have a studio and operate as a sort of Amazon original studio, SheTV Media Originals, where we'd be creating original content in-house and filming it in our studio, and also operating as a larger scale network similar to more of a Netflix by women for women with a social justice cause, where we would also be hosting and streaming other people's content on the same platform as well as our original content.
That doesn't seem out of the realm of possibility based on what you've done in such a short period of time. I think that's really great. And even though you've only been out of college for a few years, as you look back now to those days, what advice would you give yourself knowing what you know today?
That's such a good question. I think right after film school, it's like you have this such a great energy looking towards the future and looking towards what you want to do. And right outside of college, got a lot of advice to say yes to every project, especially, even if there's no money attached to it, just yes, building your reel and yes. And then you get to a point where you're like, oh, no, I need to make money. So then a lot of people, in my experience, including myself, got that full-time job that then they're not happy with, and you just take it because you need the money or whatever. But I would just, looking back, I would just tell myself to continue with, you know, fighting for what projects I truly believe in and continuing to create. I know it is hard, but there is money out there, and there's an abundance of wonderful projects. There's an abundance of money, and I think if you just stick with truly what you believe in and the projects that you feel most passionate about, the money will come. And so I wish that I could tell myself that so that I wouldn't have had to spend a year doing something that I didn't necessarily like.
Yeah. Interesting. What about you, Meredith?
Natalie's was really good.
No! I think just to echo what she's saying and then add on, I think oftentimes, especially as women, we feel inadequate or not ready or not prepared enough. And I just think that if I could tell myself, my younger self, to not listen to anyone that would be doubtful or have it in their brain, the stereotype of what a business person looks like or what an entrepreneur looks like or what, you know, a filmmaker looks like, and to just do it. Just like, regardless of if you don't feel ready, no one's ever 100% ready for anything. So why waste your time when you can be doing something that would get you excited and, you know, jazzed about life? You know, just kind of take the leap and you'll figure it out.
Wait, it's nice to be able to look back. You know, sometimes you just don't have that confidence when you're younger, like, oh, I know I went to film school and I know I got a really good education here, and we're buddies and we have the same passions and we have the same dreams and desires, but I don't know. What do you think? I don't know either. And that confidence, sometimes it comes with some letdowns, really, but it also comes with some successes and people that believe in you, but also once you have a strong belief in yourself, then really the sky is the limit. And I hear that from both of you. I hear the passion of what you both enjoy. And I also hear how much you enjoy each other. You know, there's a lot of laughter and a lot. I wish I was seeing you both, because I could see you both looking at each other going, yeah, this really has been fun. Oh, she has done a lot of work. And, oh, my God, did you sleep last night? So I think about that, and I think about balance, and I think about how important, whether you're my age or your age, what do you guys do independently? I'll start with you, Meredith. What do you do that just kind of balances you out? What does that look like for you when you're not so busy working?
Yeah, I think for me it's always been the ocean. So if I can run on the beach, or even if I don't have time or whatever, I can just go and sit near the ocean and hear the waves and just kind of bring myself back to earth, I think is the number one thing that really, really helps me maintain my sanity. And then also I do agree with you on the yoga front, because the breath and, you know, we all, well, personally have anxiety, and I think that yoga is something that's really helped me to kind of get it under control, or at least be aware of what's happening or what's causing me to be anxious, and sort of just like breathe through it. And just like they say, like, return to the breath and just remember, like, you're okay, you're breathing, you're alive, everything's going to be fine. And just kind of balancing that way.
I just so agree with what you're saying. What about you, Natalie? What works for you?
Yeah. I am similar in that I value exercise and movement a lot. And so whether that is yoga, or I love to just go to the gym and just stay on the treadmill till it kicks me off after an hour and just read. I also love reading. But yeah, I can just get sucked in a book or a movie. And so yeah, I would say the biggest things for me are like reading and exercising, and then also spending time with family. I'm very fortunate that my family lives within an hour's drive, and so I love to visit my grandma and practice my Spanish with her and visit my parents. So I think that's like definitely a necessity in keeping that work-life balance for me.
Yeah, I think that's something too, that in building a company we believe we need to have as a value, because our families are both so important to us, and especially in starting your own business, you know, the family is going to be involved. So we're very fortunate to have the kind of support and, you know, relationships with our family that we do. And I think that's something that we want to include into our company as SheTV Media and just make sure that, you know, we do kind of have that work-life balance and for anyone that would work for us as well.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense, you guys. I'm sure that there is a part, since we've all three have mentioned yoga, and yoga means different things to different people. It you know, some people think, you know, you're going to be in this down dog warrior, all these different poses, and that's not to say that that doesn't happen. But if I could just convince everybody that I know, whether they're your age or my age and anything in between, breathing, while it's a necessity, we're not going to be alive without breathing. But focused breathing, and you mentioned that you sit on sort of the anxiety side of life. So do I. And I'm amazed at how much I calm down under some sometimes stressful situations by just taking the breath that is, what am I trying to say, where you're deliberately about taking the breath, where you are focusing on taking the breath. And that really does calm you down. You can do it in a chair. You can just simply do it wherever you are. You can drive to the beach, like you said, or I can take my camera out and go take pictures of pelicans or whatever I like doing. But just taking that breath does really make a difference, whether you're a student or whether you're anybody in between. And I think that what you guys have accomplished in a very short period of time is really admirable. And I'm so glad that you joined the chamber, or we would not have met. And there are connections everywhere. And Natalie, off the air, I'm going to tell you about my neighbor, who is a Latina, who is somebody that I think you would want to know. And so I'm not going to say her name just because I don't want people knocking on my house saying which house is hers. But she does live down the street from me, and it's somebody that I'd like you to meet. But I just for now want to just thank you both for joining me. I must just throw one other thing in here. I have had quite the weekend. I have been very fortunate to grow up and live in the same community my entire life. I was very involved in my high school once I graduated with putting together reunions. And this past weekend has been incredible as we gathered together a bunch of old people. Because, my God, I don't know how we got to this age when we thought we were just standing in front of our lockers yesterday. But it's true. And I just want to thank a shout out to all of my friends from Westchester High School for making this a really enjoyable weekend. And then next week, oh my gosh, you know, it just goes on, and you just never know who's going to be on your show. I'm going to have a restaurateur on my show. Her name is Lisa Schwab, and she is the owner of Cantalini's. I've never had somebody on my show that owns their own restaurant, and I think that that's a very demanding job. I'm really interested in sharing her story with all of you. So I just want to thank you both for taking the time out of your day to spend it with me. I've thoroughly enjoyed getting to know you. I think we need to meet and have a cup of coffee somewhere when you're not busy. Oh, my goodness. But thank you, Meredith, and thank you, Natalie, for just being a guest on my show today.
Thank you so much for having us. It was such a pleasure to talk with you. And yes, I completely agree with the coffee.
Yes, we will always make time for you, Marcia.
Yes.
Oh, thank you, you guys. That's just awesome. I'm going to let you get on with your day. Go make some more documentaries and do what you do best. And I thank all of you for listening and being a part of this joyride with me, because it's been a blast. So until next week, everybody, bye for now.